T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
And this one's over. Golden State lets another game get away. This one on the road to a very good team. The Minnesota Timberwolves come up with a win, 114-110.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Tim Roy, the call right here on 95.7 The Game, the flagship home or the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. And you know what? They gave a value and effort yesterday to one of the top teams in the Western Conference. However, we've said this all season long. It's starting to become a theme as they're only 2 games over 500. They lose to Minnesota, and Minnesota did not even play their A game. They put together a good quarter, and they win going away here in the fourth quarter. Look, man, it's a lot to get into. But the reality is, folks, as we say good morning to everybody out there, getting off the graveyard shift. If you're at home, what is up? If you're getting off of work, what is up? If you're in traffic, what is up? Overnight dancers, homicide detectives, you name it. The facts are, as of today, as of 6:07 in the morning, the Warriors are just 1 game up on the Houston Rockets. When we left here Friday, we're kind of laughing. Oh, the Rockets, 11th place. Oh, you better watch out for the Rockets. But nobody really was serious about that. Well, you better get serious, and you better start care, because if you slip up even more, which could happen Tuesday, Wednesday in Miami or in Orlando, you will be behind the Houston Rockets, and you will be playing in the 7-Eleven tournament, as Mully coined it yesterday. Big gulps for everybody.
The 7-Eleven tournament.
Big gulps for everybody.
Wow. They tried hard. I this isn't about effort. There's just when we could talk so much about defense. I think we've actually overemphasized defense. Clearly, they're older and they can't stay in front of teams. Like, that is undeniable. And some of their schematics defensively is because they can't stay in front of people. And so, like, yesterday is a great example. I saw a lot of double teaming of Anthony Edwards, and then you're going to try to put a body on Gobert. Well, you're going to leave guys open on the perimeter. And this is a team that hasn't shot well from three. I think they were, 37 or 38%. Since the All-Star break, they've shot better. Yeah. And they shoot 54% yesterday, 53% from three-point land. But it was too many uncontested shots. To me, though, it's not even about defense. I think the Warriors just lack the offensive firepower that they've been so accustomed to have, and they're able to outscore teams. And I look at it right now, and I look at all the teams that they're going up against, whether it's Indiana Friday night, whether it's Minnesota yesterday. There are waves of offensive firepower other teams have that the Warriors just don't have. And they're so reliant on a lot of these defensive-first players to just give them any contributions offensively, even though they had multiple guys scoring in double digits. They don't have shot makers and creators in the half court, and it gets very, very difficult. So we're losing our minds about a minute here, a minute there for Steph Curry. And believe me, I'm with people when it comes to the rotations. I get frustrated as well, but I think it boils down to I'm starting to believe they just have a lack of firepower.
Well, I'm looking at Minnesota. Number one, they're number three in the league when it comes to three-point percentage.
Are they number three?
They're number three in the league.
I didn't know that.
Overall in three-point percentage. Number three, tied for third in three-point percentage. So they've shot the three ball well. They haven't shot it recently. Obviously, Carl Anthony Towns has been out. He's one of their better three-point shooters. So they're third in the league. But they're 15th in the league when it comes to made threes per game. They make 12.5 threes per game. Well, yesterday, Minnesota made 12 of 21 in the second half alone on the way to a 21 of 40 night. So what's happening here defensively?
Warm-up threes.
Here's what's happening. I've mentioned this all season long. The Warriors are at a disadvantage every single night when it comes to athleticism.
That's
overall team athleticism, team speed has been a problem for the Warriors all season long. Now, you would think that they could get by that with great IQ, smart basketball play, or whatnot, taking care of the basketball. But what happens is when you do double Anthony Edwards, as you mentioned, and you do double down on the block, whether it's Rudy Gobert or Naz Reid, who cooked them in the first half for 17 points and 7 rebounds and 5 made threes. He always seems to get off against the Golden State Warriors. Naz Reid, that is. Well, you start doubling, but you don't have the athleticism and the team speed to get back out and contest three-point shots.
Yes.
It's like they're running in quicksand trying to get from the post to the three-point line. So this is what happens when you have an older team, and this is what happens when you have a young mix of guys who don't understand team concepts at a high level yet. That's the one thing with Jonathan Kuminga. He's having a hell of a third year. He's got to learn how to play team defense. That comes with time. That's the last part of his game. A lot of youngsters here, they learn team defense aspects last year, getting buckets or whatever, running up and down. That's all fine. But learning how to communicate as a team defense, that's what's next for these youngsters here on the team. But a lot of these guys, they can't get back on the three-point line. They just can't. And so now when you look at these other teams, and 888-957-9570, I want to have a great conversation about the Golden State Warriors here. What's going to happen if they do miss the playoffs with the most expensive roster in NBA history? This is something that's unprecedented. But I'm just looking at this team, Shasky, and I'm just saying to myself, you're slow. You're small, you're getting older, and you just don't have the athletes. Now you're dropping into zone defense because you can't play man up.
What else would you expect them to do?
And even the zone's getting cooked. NBA team's going to figure out how to beat his own defense.
But because your lack of defense, now you're playing personnel out there that's got no offensive firepower late in the game. There was a possession, and everybody wants to tell me, and look, you know, Draymond's a great player. Right? But there are times that he drives me completely insane. And there was a couple of possessions last night where if you watch Minnesota's possession, they know exactly what they're going to go to Ant-Man. And if Ant-Man gets doubled, he's going to kick it out and they're going to get a wide open look. They're going to try to get the ball underneath in the block low to Gobert. Right? It's very specific.
Right.
When I look at the Warriors, it was like a mad scramble to pray that we can get three guys off of Steph Curry so he could hoist a three. And I'm saying, you can't have GP2 and Draymond Green closing lineups with let's call it what it is, like Andrew Wiggins is just going up and down the floor. I feel like he has zero impact. Like, I know he's in there, and I look at the stat sheet, and I'm like, oh, he scored 15 points. It didn't feel like it.
Well,
there's no impact.
Enough.
And there were two possessions in particular. And look, I've had different criticisms of Klay Thompson, where his game's at or whatever, but everyone's going to go, oh, Klay shot X yesterday. Yeah, there were a couple of shots late in the shot clock where Draymond just throws it at him because Draymond's not even looking at the hoop, and Klay is forced with the shot clock coming down to hoist a horrible shot, and it's not on Klay. It's on Dray for not looking at the hoop.
It's a
microcosm of where they're at. When they get into the half court, 4 minutes to go, other teams dig in, and they key on Curry, they key on Klay, and there are at least one or two or sometimes three, like there was yesterday, guys that teams don't even have to worry about hitting shots offensively, and it becomes constipated.
So,
and it drives me crazy.
So here's the deal, and this is why I was talking about the Sacramento series last year when I didn't think the two big lineup would help them. Now, obviously, the two big lineup helped them win Game 7 and helped them win Game 5. But Game 3 was revealing because the one big lineup allowed more spacing for everybody else. So now we fast forward right to this season. And you look at Draymond Green, and there's a soundbite at Madison Square Garden where Steve Kerr's talking to Draymond Green. And Steve Kerr says, you don't have to always look for Stephen Curry. You don't always have to look for him. You had Moody in the corner. And then Draymond receives that information, and he goes straight to Moses Moody. Hey, Moses, I got to hit you there. I owe you one. Well, this is the thing that's been happening all season long. And this is why I think Klay and CP3 and Trayce Jackson-Davis are having a better rapport coming off the bench, because Klay's not getting force-fed.
Yes.
There's more spacing. There's more ball movement. When you get that starting lineup, it's Draymond at the top of the key waiting for Steph to run off 1,500 screens where he's running his legs into the ground and he's just looking for one guy. And then you get lineups. Like, you get a Draymond, you get a GP2, you get a Pods lineup. Or there was a lineup yesterday, I think it was Curry, GP2, Wiggins, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and Draymond Green. There's not enough shot creators in that lineup.
No.
There's too many guys. Like, GP2, I love him, but he's not always going to shoot that open shot. Some of those shots that Draymond is presented with are great shots that a coach can't even diagram up during a timeout. Those are great shots. great shots. And when you pass up great shots and you get good shots, the poor shots is going to compromise your offense. Yeah. Teams are not even guarding him. So when you look, hold on, Shasky, when you revisit Friday night, and you got Jonathan Kuminga going 4-17. I don't fault Jonathan Kuminga for that. Yeah, he's got to learn to be a little more patient.
It's a bad game.
And you can't. It's a bad game. Yeah. It happens. It's like his first bad game since January 5th.
I got no problem with that. Teams are keen on him, but continue.
But when you have Draymond Green at the top of the key, Miles Turner or Pascal Siakam were saying, we don't care if he's shooting 38% from three. We're going to allow him to take every single wide open shot. We're not even going to guard him. So what happens? Miles Turner and Siakam, they sag off in the paint, and they're waiting for Kuminga to drive to the lane. And now you got two long bodies playing vertical defense and shot blocking and making it tough for him. So now the paint is compromised again because guys are not taking wide open shots. And that's why Pudzinski's struggling a little bit, because he has to take the wide open shot. You need firepower here. You need five threats on the floor at all times, or at least be in a triple threat position to look to shoot or score. You got to be aggressive.
Well, the one thing that nobody wants to acknowledge when it comes to Draymond Green, he hasn't had any layers to his offensive repertoire.
Yeah.
I mean, but Bruce Bowen added a corner three. Did he not?
He did.
All right. Tony Allen, what got Tony Allen out of the league?
Well, he couldn't shoot the three.
He couldn't shoot the three. And team said, we are not going to guard you. Al Horford, who I believe Draymond's got more left in the tank than Al Horford. But you know what Al Horford can do? He can knock down a three now. Now, it's not the greatest shot in the world for him, but it's effective enough to space the floor and where you have to honor him. And I look at Draymond, and the offensive element of not adding just a basic knockdown three is crushing them.
Well, here's the deal.
It's crushing
them. Here's the deal. This is where you go back to the 2019-2020 season. And it was a lost year for the Golden State Warriors. And we knew once Steph Curry got hurt, what was it, game four or five against the Phoenix Suns, where he breaks his hand, it was almost a blessing in disguise because the Warriors weren't going to be that good that season anyway. And it was a blessing in disguise. And look, you never want to see players get hurt. But he was able to save his legs, save the season. But that was a year in which all those rookies were playing where Draymond Green should have just worked on his three that season. You knew you were going to lose a lot of games. Why not just hoist 7 to 10 threes per game, knowing that, hey, Klay's going to be back, Curry's going to be back, and oh, what do you know, we're trading for Andrew Wiggins. Guess who's going to be open in the half court? Me, number 23.
All day.
And so when you have those, when you know that, why not just work on your game? Instead, Draymond admitted. He admitted this. It was hard for me to play when I knew we were going to lose every single game. It was hard for me to play. And he kind of mailed it in. Let's just be real. He basically admitted that. So now we're here 4 years later, and those same shot opportunities are presented to themselves. And so the possession you're talking about where he's dribbling, you turn around, you got a wide-open 10-footer. You got a wide-open midi. And so instead, he's looking for Curry. Does it, shoot, gives it to Klay. Klay's got to take a tough contested shot. It's a brick, and you lose the game.
And people are mad at Klay, and I'm like, well, watch the possession. Well, what's he supposed to do?
Well, you know what? Klay's making himself some money. And it's pretty funny in real time, and I'm enjoying this. In real time, a lot of people walking back things they said about Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's going to sign with a contender. If he wants, there's going to be some contender with some big money who's going to say, Klay, can you do this for us? Yeah. And you know what? Since he's come off the bench, he's shooting 45% from three. But you know why it's working for him off the bench? Because you got a lot more ball movement. It's not just Steph dependent.
Yes.
It's okay, we're going to let TJD touch it. We're going to let Kuminga touch it. Whoever's in that second unit alongside Klay, CP3, and TJD, that's why the bench has been so fluid here. They've been playing so well, but offensively, it's just not enough. You don't have enough firepower. And then defensively, you're just too slow. You can't play man. At the point of attack defensively, guys are just blowing by. Just look at the Indiana game. Haliburton and Nembhard got to wherever they want, whenever they wanted. And Pascal Siakam, he earned some money Friday night. Damn. He was doing whatever he wanted against the Golden State Warriors in the half court.
So, okay, Friday night and last night, there was like a theme to me. And I can't believe we're here. There used to be like the Warriors would hit the nitrous like in Fast and the Furious. And they'd play like a 7-minute stretch where they would just get every stop that they needed. And they'd outscore you and they'd hit everything.
Well, the other teams are doing that to the Warriors now.
Well, I could pinpoint exactly when in games it's happening. Right before halftime, the Warriors had a couple of bad possessions on Friday night. Right before halftime, JK throws it to Curry on the final possession, and Curry, I don't even know what he was going with it, whatever. He throws up some wild, like, hook shotty thing, and then Haliburton hits a three. You were in control the whole first half, and then boom, they go into the locker room with some momentum. It was all Pacers from that point on.
Well, the same thing yesterday with Minnesota. They turned the ball over 9 times in the first quarter. They give up 9 points off turnovers, yet they're only down 9. That's got to be a double-digit lead. At halftime, the Warriors are up 8 despite Minnesota. Outside of Naz Reid, nobody really did much. I know Anthony Edwards woke up in the second quarter with 12 points. But in the first half, Minnesota shot 41% from the floor, and yet was only down 8, thinking, okay, we're playing a game to our pace. And what I mean by playing a game to our pace, Minnesota only shoots 82.5 field goals per game. Think about that. They only shoot 82 times per game. They want to slow down half-court game. The Warriors average 92.5 shots per game.
And Mully said in pregame he wanted 100.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you wanted at least 100 and 115 to score.
Yes.
Well, the Warriors average 92.5 shots per game. They shot 85 times yesterday, which is a Minnesota type of pace. They suffocated the Warriors and made it a half-court game. But those teams are looking at the Golden State Warriors, and they're saying, if we put together 8 minutes, we could beat this team.
100%.
And so now the Warriors are on the other side of this, where they're playing so hard for 3 quarters. And yesterday, at the end of the third quarter, just like the Indiana game, where Indiana goes on a 22-9 run at the end of the third quarter and take control, Minnesota, next thing you know, bang, 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 they're on a 9-0 run early in the fourth quarter. And not to mention, we got the whole Steph Curry rotation thing, which we're going to get into a lot. He only played 30 minutes yesterday. Actually, didn't even play 30 minutes. He played 29 minutes and 51 seconds. He scored 31 points. He scored over a point a minute. It's a basketball game. You would think he played 34, 35 minutes, and that's what we're going to get into because Steve Kerr was very definitive.
Why don't you play that song?
You want to play it?
Yeah, because I don't even want to talk about the minutes. I want to talk about the philosophy. You just play the cut and we'll go.
We're trying to keep him around 30, trying to get him as much rest as we can. We've played him a lot of minutes, played him 35 2 days ago. So as long as we were hanging in there, then we wanted to limit the minutes a little bit. Not limit them, but not overplay him.
Here's more Kerr on whether or not he can ride Steph the rest of the way over the next 12 games, the final 12 games of the regular season.
We got Chris Paul out there. We got Clay. We got Draymond. We got great players out there. So, you know, we can't expect to just ride Steph game after game after game. You know, these last few weeks have been really tough on him. We've put the burden of this franchise on his shoulders for 15 years. We can't expect him to play 35 minutes. We got 5 games in 7 days on this road trip. So if you want to say that him playing 30 minutes instead of 32 was the difference in the win and the loss, I totally disagree with that. We're trying to win the game. We're trying to keep him fresh, too.
Well, it's hard to agree with that philosophy in a game like that where he leaves the game with 4:07 left in the third quarter. 4:07 left in the third quarter. Stephen Curry doesn't come back in until about the 6:58 mark in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's just 6:54. Came back with 6:54. Now the Warriors are up 4, 69-65. He comes back in. They're down 8, 97-89. That's a long time to be sitting in a game like that.
We'll get into the minutes because, yes, I agree with you on that. But, like, this is – I'm sorry. I love Steve, but he's lost me on this one. Like – you're contradicting yourself. You cannot tell me, oh, we put way too much on Curry's shoulders. He's carried the franchise for the last 15 years. Every roster decision and every rotation that you've made over the last 3 years has been, can't play that guy. He can't play with Curry. The specific way Curry plays, this guy doesn't fit. That guy doesn't fit. Can't play this youngster because Anthony Lamb fits the way Curry plays. Like, no, that's a, no, no, no. You can't have it both ways. You cannot tell me that every roster and rotational decision that you have dictated over the last 3 years is to specifically play the way Steph Curry plays and then sit here and say, we're putting too much on his plate. What? What? The reason that you won't do a high pick and roll with Jonathan Kuminga is because Curry plays a certain way. Stop that. Like, that frustrated me. And again, he's a great coach. I think he's an all-timer. He's going to go down as a first ballot Hall of Famer. But that is contradiction. You cannot have it both ways. And when I heard that, I was like, no, I'm not buying that. You're playing GP2 alongside of him? Why? Why? Because he fits the way Curry plays the game. Like, you should have been closing with Kuminga.
But also because you need individual defenders.
No doubt, no doubt. You don't have any lockdown. But Anthony Edwards shot right over him.
But you know what? You don't have any individual. But Anthony Edwards shot 7 of 18. I think they made it tough for Anthony Edwards yesterday. And he got off to a slow start. GP2 is one of your better defenders. So I get all the, well, he's a limited player. And you got a lot of players who are one-way players. But I got to find somebody who can stay in front of their man. You're running a CYO zone defense against the Indiana Pacers, getting locked up because you got nobody who can guard at the point of attack. Nobody can guard defensively at the point of attack individually. Everybody's getting blown by, which is breaking down your defense and leaving the wide open threes. And what happened yesterday? You go to the zone or you try to play man defense. You can't play man defense. And Minnesota goes 12 of 21 from the three-point line in the second half alone. In the second half alone, Minnesota's plus 10 in fast break points. In the second half alone, they're plus 8 when it comes to points in the paint. So you're not quick enough. You're not athletic enough. You're too small. So no matter what, this roster construction here, it's just not good enough in today's Western Conference.
No doubt. And here's the reality is like, and I get why Steve's doing it, because I would too to these guys. They're legends who helped mint you into the Hall of Fame. But he said, Clay's still great, and Draymond, and CP3, and like I'm sorry. Like, they were great. They're not top 50 players anymore, those guys. I love all of them. They're nice rotational pieces. They're nice supplementary pieces. They're not the great players that they were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. They're just not. If we did a fantasy draft of the top 50 players in the league,
of course,
Curry's in there and the other guys aren't.
Of course.
And I just...
But I hear him on the flip side where you want to ride Stephen Curry, you got 5 of the next 7 on the road. Well, guess what, Miami? Guess who's going to be on the top of the game plan? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Stephen Curry.
No doubt.
Or Orlando. And who's going to be on top Kuminga. Of the game plan? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Long, bigger defenders.
But this is a winnable game, and you got to try to win the winnable games and worry about the other ones down the line.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. But you know what? The reality is this team's just not good enough. And right now the Rockets are one game behind you. So whether Curry plays 32, 34, 36 minutes, this team's just not. They're 10th place for a reason. Two games over 500 for a reason. And it ain't got nothing to do. I mean, yeah, Curry should have played yesterday, and I'm with you with the minutes and everything like that. But this team's just not good enough. Can we just admit that? Can we just admit that? They are who their record says they are. And that's what's coming up on the game here. We got a lot going on here. I'll shout out everybody on the other side. More coming up on the Roast, brought to you by Safeway.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.